Okay, so this guy has a ruptured abdominal aortic aneurysm. He's got a low blood pressure. He's got severe abdominal pain. He's got a pulsatile periumbilical mass, and he also has a huge smoking history. Okay, so those who are most susceptible to getting a triple A are going to be ever smokers who are male over the age of 55. And this group will get a one-off triple A ultrasound. Okay, if they're over 55, males, ever smokers. That's more 2 CK level, not really a high yield factoid, but I'm just telling you that tangentially for this question. It just makes sense. You say he's a male over 55, he's a heavy smoker, and he's got this obvious periumbilical pulsatile mass. Okay, triple A. Then we look at the answer choices here. Choice A says decreased alpha-1 agonism in arterioles. That's wrong. You should know that alpha-1 agonism by epinephrine and norepinephrine is going to cause constriction of the arterioles and will increase blood pressure. We would expect that in this case because this would be hypovolemic shock that this guy is entering, or that he already has. So he'd be in stage 2 shock. His blood pressure is declining. So we would expect increased alpha-1 agonism on arterioles in order to increase systemic vascular resistance and increase proximal blood pressure. So choice A is not correct here. We look at choice B, decreased angiotensin II. This is not correct because in a setting of low renal perfusion, we would expect an upregulation of the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. So angiotensin II should be increased, not decreased. Angiotensin II will serve to also constrict peripheral arterioles in addition to norepinephrine, epinephrine. So we get increased systemic vascular resistance due to angiotensin II in the setting of low blood volume. A lot I could talk about regarding AT2, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. Choice C, decreased femoral pulses. That makes sense because if we have low blood pressure, wouldn't our pulses be diminished, right? So I mean that's not a complicated detail here. It's more about just not getting mixed up in the other answer choices. So we look at choice D, decreased serum bicarbonate, and you're like, no idea. Well, we can at least say this. If we have upregulation of the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system, even though this is acute, we would not, ex or I should say, because this is acute, we would not expect a rapid elevation of aldosterone. The increase in aldosterone might be very subtle in this setting. If anything, aldosterone serves to kick out protons distally in the kidney and would increase serum bicarbonate, not decrease. So we can look at choice D and say, well, even though it's acute and we don't particularly expect aldosterone to be very elevated relative to baseline anyway, even if it were to be elevated, we would expect increased, not decreased serum bicarbonate. So D is clearly wrong. And then choice E is a what the fuck answer, I'm sure, for most people. Chaliuresis is the medical term for potassium excretion in the urine. So when you pee out, when you micturate potassium in the urine, that's called chaliuresis. So if we have elevated aldosterone in the setting of RAS upregulation, that will serve to kick out potassium distally in the kidney. So we would expect chaliuresis in the setting of low blood volume. And you say, well, we have that though. I don't understand. Like, doesn't that make sense? Well, we say significant chaliuresis, implying that aldosterone should be massively elevated for that to be the case, and it's not. So this question really comes down to choice C, decreased femoral pulses, versus choice E, significant chaliuresis. And the student should say, well, decreased femoral pulses is certainly going to be the case. But as far as chaliuresis is concerned, if anything, we would only expect it to be very, very subtle. Rather than significant. So the answer is decreased thermal pulses here. That's it.